He doesn't use the devil every time, but he can use him. And he does use him. He did so in the life of Job to prove one thing, that Job belonged to God. He said, he's my servant. Don't take his life. Job maintained his integrity that his Redeemer liveth, and he would see him in that day. That should be our stand. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment of prayer? If you're singing there, washing the dishes, or whatever you're doing in the kitchen, or dressing, just sing along a little prayer. God knows your heart. Our Heavenly Father, we bow our heads again today to thank Thee that Thou art so gracious towards us. We do not deserve Thy kindness, Thy patience, much less Thy grace, came by the Lord Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sin because of His death on the cross, the shedding of His blood. We deserve none of that. If we would receive justice, we'd all be sent down to the pit for time and eternity. We pray, Holy Father, for those that handle the Word of God, that are true servants to the souls of men and to their God. Oh, Lord, if You would stop the mouths of the gainsayers today, and trumpet Thy truth through the mouths and hearts of those that You've called to preach and anointed to preach and sent forth. We fear, Heavenly Father, we're in the days that few are concerned, fulfilling the question that the Lord asked, will there be faith found on the earth when I come? Help us, Lord, as we read Thy word, rebuke those that scoff and mock, and awaken those that sleep, if it could please Thee, that they might call upon Thee and be saved. As we ask it in Jesus' name, ask Him to be tried, searched, and proven for Your glory. Amen and amen. I'm not over my cold yet. I still have the lingering effect. Nevertheless, we feel some better. Trusting possibly to go to work tomorrow, or the next day, and accomplish something there that we might help maintain this broadcast. Last Lord's Day, if I recall correctly, I was closing, or thought to leave in your hearing, the Sorcerer Simon, as we made mention that it's very easy for someone to get a crowd to follow them. But before I read the scripture, I want to read another paragraph, possibly two, concerning this more on hell that came out of the paper on the 6th of this month. It says, in the latter-day revelation, hell is spoken of in at least two senses. One is in the temporary abode in the spirit world of those who were disobedient in this mortal life. Now, I want you to pay close attention. It is between death and the resurrection. And persons who receive the celestial glory will abide there until the last resurrection. That's D and C, 76, I reckon, chapter 76, with 84-85. Comma 106, that comes from the Mormon Bible or book, in this sense of the Book of Mormon, speaks of the spiritual death as hell. 2 NE 9:2, I suppose that's chapter 10-12. Hell as thus defined will have an end. I want you to listen to this now. Hell as thus defined will have an end. When all the captive spirits have paid the price of their sins and entered into a degree of glory after their resurrection. Statements about an everlasting hell in the Bible and Book of Mormon must be interpreted in the proper context, defined in D&C chapter 19, verse 12, I suppose. Endless and eternal punishment are defined as God's punishment. And it clearly brings out that it is not written that there shall be no end to this torment. That would deceive a mind or trick a mind if it didn't pay close attention to the wording. It says eternal hell and eternal punishment are defined as God's punishment. I wonder about that now. And it clearly brings out that it is not, and you ought to note that it is not written that there shall be no end to this torment. Don't find any scripture in the Holy Writ like that. On the other hand, the devil and his angels, including the sons of perdition, are assigned to a place spoken of as a lake of fire, a figure of eternal anguish. This condition is sometimes called hell in the scriptures, 2 Peter 2 and 4. D and C, that's Mormon doctrine, chapter 29, verse 38, and chapter 88, I suppose, verse 113. This kind of hell, after the resurrection and judgment, is exclusively for the devil and his angels, and is not the same as that period between death and the resurrection. The one group are redeemed from hell and inherit some degree of glory. The other receive no glory. They continue in spiritual darkness. For them, the conditions of hell remain. My. That reminds me of Paul's statement as he wrote to the young preacher, young Timothy, in chapter 3, where they shall ever learn, ever learning, verse 7, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. If there is one God, there's one message from God, and that is written and called the Holy Bible. So I think we ought to stay with it. You have your privilege, you have your religious freedom in this country to do as you please. But you can do as you please and go to hell. But you can do as it pleases God and repent, for he commandeth all men everywhere to repent and to believe on the only name, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, for salvation. As the fellow cried in hell, Jonah by name, cried out in hell, and he was heard, and he was delivered, and he said, salvation is not of Joe Smith, but salvation is of the Lord. And that's what the Bible's about. So I want to read over here in the 8th chapter of Acts and a few verses, and let you know scripturally that you can get a following. I made reference to the name Simon, who through his sorcery had accumulated the large following. So the Bible clearly teaches men can get a following, not only back then, but now. You remember Mr. Jones, don't you? He carried about 1,000 to death, and I suppose to hell with him. Of course, he's going, according to Mormons, he's going to get up one of these days, get a little glory from God, and get out of that torment. You believe that? Well, you can go on to hell with Mr. Jones if you do. And if the Bible teaches anything, it teaches it clearly. So, beloved, in Christ, know full well that hell is for all those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which we find recorded in Revelation 21:27. Might just read it to you in a minute. But I want to read here in the book of Acts. In verse 9, but there was a certain man called Simon. I don't know whether he saw a stone that fell from heaven or not with some kind of marking on where it got scratched on others when it fell. I don't know. Which before time in the same city used sorcery, whichever, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. To him they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Now listen to this and see if it don't stack you up with Joe Smith. And to him that had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorcery, But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. When he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered. He was just baptized, wasn't converted, didn't believe nothing, with Philip, and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Very attractive to it. Like the group that followed Jesus, he said, "You don't follow me for what I have to offer. You follow me for something for your tummy." And that's about all they do in some of the churches today. Covered dish supper once a week at night, and breakfast on certain mornings, and this, that, and the other. Well, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Is it or is it not? No, it isn't. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, I'm reading verse 14, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That kind of brings to mind something that we hear a lot about, that the Jesus only crew, you know, there's a flock of them. But the command was to the apostles as they went forth to make disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And here they were baptized only in the name of Jesus. So those, Peter, you remember, the keys of the kingdom were given to him. And he and John go over and do some praying, and they receive the Holy Ghost. What a study of the Bible. Oh, how interesting it is. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now the Baptists and a whole lot of the others, they preach, a lot of them, and teach that when you believe, you receive the Holy Ghost. Well, we must say that if you are a true believer, you've been born of the Holy Ghost, born of the Spirit of God. But there's a promise in Acts 2 and 38 that ye shall receive the gift of the promise, which is the Holy Ghost, that makes Christ a living reality. Your experience of forgiveness of sin, a living reality. Your possession of eternal life in Christ Jesus, a living reality. And if it's not, if you have doubts about that, the Bible says, he that doubteth is damned. So, beloved, we need to learn a little of the Bible. We ought to read more than John 3:16. That's about all some ever know. Well, let's read on. Verse 18, and when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perisheth thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." All right, now. We're talking about hell. Just read that to show you that men are capable under the spirit of Satan to bewitch, deceive, and get poor, ignorant, total depraved creature man to follow them. They can exercise great powers. Happened to be looking at the news one night this past week. My wife and I thought she was going to faint. There they were, dancing, singing, and some of them had as many as it appeared to be three or four rattlesnakes, all wadded up with their heads and tongues shooting out, saying that the Bible says they shall take up serpents. And one had a quart jar of clear-looking stuff in it, they said was poison, strychnine, or something like that. I don't know about that. That's all right. If they do that, that's their business. But it also showed them lowering a coffin in the grave where one had been bitten by the snake and had died. One said he had been bitten, I believe, 16 times, still alive. Well, that snake could have been worked on, I don't know. But, beloved, we have all shades of darkness when it comes to religion. But salvation is of the Lord. I'm going to give you some scripture now on hell. Leaving off hell, this fellow did, that he might insert some of his heresy, taught from Joe Smith's hellish doctrine. I'll turn to Luke 16, where I do want to read concerning this rich man and this poor man, and see if we can get some facts from the scripture. Beginning with verse 20 in Luke 16, there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. He got his glory when he got in Abraham's bosom. Abraham, verse 8. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And let that poor boy that lay out there at gate and suffered with sores and begged for my crumbs, let him come, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Must be a lake of fire. In this flame. But Abraham said, Son, must have been a Jew, Israelite, offspring of Abraham, that boasted, we have Abraham to our father. Jesus said, you have Abraham to your father, you'd honor me. Remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. And now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, now this takes in where this, I read over here where, you know, they said the Bible didn't say anywhere that the punishment wouldn't end. Well, let's see, verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. They had a desire to get out. But I find no reference in God's word where that there was a time period, and after serving so much or suffering so much and kind of paying for your sins, you were released and went up and received some glory. Never have found any scripture that substantiates that doctrine. Cannot find it. That's Romanism also. Cannot find it in the Bible. But Joe Smith and others, they advocate that, and people fall for it because it relieves a little of the misery of thinking I'm lost and on the road to hell. Somehow or another, they get their heart seared over, and they go on. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Praise God, when he fared sumptuously, clothed in purple and eating high on the hog, he had no time for prayer. But here, he calls on Father Abraham. He wants to intervene by the medium of prayer, or the means of prayer. Let me say that. I like that better. Interceding in behalf of lost brothers back home. He said, I don't want them to come here. But they're coming, so therefore, don't worry about it. They're coming. Now, I'm looking back to chapter 23 of Matthew, and I want to read verse, let me see. Let's read verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Now they were making a fair show in the flesh. But let's go back to verse 15 now and see what the Bible says concerning their activity, what they were doing. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. He said of them, you're a child of hell. And he said, those that follow you, you make them twofold more the child of hell. But they'll follow right on, though you speak to them and preach to them and try to encourage them and such, but they will not pay you any attention. Over in the book of John, chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, marvel not at this, Jesus speaking, if you please, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Yes, sir. And they shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, they went to punishment. At this resurrection, is the punishment period over, and they're going back into a damnation? You're going to have to admit something there. If so, they must be going to the lake of fire. For the devil, created for the devil and his angels. And remember that men are preaching that are the devil's angels. He has transformed his emissaries into angels of light. Surely this scripture includes them. Also over in Luke chapter 20, let me look at something over there if I can find it right fast. Luke chapter 20. And let's see, verses 45 and 46 and 47. Listen to these words, please, sir. Then in the audience of all the people, he said unto his disciples. Now, he said it to his disciples, but he is in the presence of all the people. So where I suppose they were able to hear it, beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long rows. There's a great number of people, anywhere you see them, at home, street, anywhere else, they got that garb on. And love greetings in the marketplace. And oh, how they'll kiss your baby's toe and all this, that, and the other. And the highest seats in the synagogue, they elevate them high above all, dress them different and everything. And the chief rooms at feast, which devour with his houses for his show, make long prayer. The same shall receive the greater damnation. I wonder what that is. Is that a little more in the first damnation? The resurrected is the second damnation? No, that's just they're going to be punished with all the punishment that God has for rebels against him, Christ rejectors, those that prey on the poor and the unlearned, like some of these animals on the smaller, helpless ones, they're going to receive, I'll guarantee you, they're going to receive their share of punishment. My God will not let his son be separated from himself and taste death for all men, and then men reject him and let them go unpunished. No, sir. They will receive a just reward in the regions of the damned, which is separation from God and all hope, and tormented in flame forever and ever and ever. God be with you till we meet again.